I know you got to get out the way, Reggie, but I heard you talking about what do I get, Figgy. I just want you to know, like, if you give somebody gift cards, like, that's the most non-genuine, like, gift. Like, if you, like, and I'm telling you that right now, any of you, like, if you give me, like, hey, I'm going to give you $25 of OG Sauce gift card, like, hey, man, that just means you, like, all right, man, I ain't going to put a lot of thought in this thing, man. I'm just going to walk up in that HEB, man, and look at that thing right there and say, there it is.
So cash is a no-go there?
There it is.
I don't want y'all shopping for me. A gift card will do. Just make it a Visa gift card.
You gotta get some from the heart. Now there are some gift card people.
Yeah.
There's some gift card
people. Right.
Like Byron, I get Byron a gift card.
Damn. Okay.
I mean, me and Byron got to get in a better relationship, but right now, me and Byron have a
I thought that was something very particular about Byron.
Like,
okay,
I mean, Reg, right now, we got to get closer.
Yeah.
I look at you, I'm like, all right, let me
play it safe.
Let me shoot my man at Dillard's. Okay. There's an array of things you can get at Dillard's.
All right, so I definitely got to get out here and go look for something from the heart for Figgy.
Yeah,
while
man.
I do that, I'll be listening to these five folks, because right now, their drive is live.
That's right, the drive is live, and as you see here on YouTube and Twitch, Tyler has on a Victory Monday t-shirt because it is Victory Monday as the Texans move to 4-1 after a thrilling, weird game, strange game, a game that, you know, I feel like probably the quarterbacks feel like they didn't play to their standard. Josh Allen may have played one of his worst games since his rookie year. We haven't seen CJ have those issues in the fourth quarter.
That looked like the Josh Allen last time I saw him in the playoffs. Was it the playoffs, Tyler, down here with Deshaun Watson?
Yeah,
he looked worse.
In NRG Stadium, he was chasing the ball backwards on, I mean, snaps getting snapped over his head 25 yards backwards.
Yeah, he completed more than nine.
it was just a mess.
30 times. It was like Josh was in refusal to run for first downs that were wide open there early in the game. But then, you know, the coaching, there were some interesting decisions there. Both sides and execution at times was off. But regardless, as you said, 11-3, the Texans find a way late. And it is a Victory Monday. It is a Reaction Monday. And
Mad Dog Monday. You didn't know.
Burn me, baby. Burn me.
Your ass better call somebody.
The banana red. You better not do that. Ain't no way in hell.
To the people at Houston
Did
Methodist.
Did you ask?
Hopefully you're not watching. I'll take a little sip from Mad Dog Monday.
That's dedication, Holmes.
I mean, that's infection waiting to happen, but all right. There we go.
There we go. Just a little.
Kill the germs in there.
Ah, there it is. There it is.
Ah. Banana Red ain't bad.
Yeah.
Banana Red ain't bad.
There it is.
A little wang to it.
There it is. Shout out to the folks at Houston Methodist. It's all right.
What'd you get over there?
Yeah,
peaches and
peaches,
cream,
yeah.
Huh? Home brand?
There's only two. Only two they had down there. and that Banana Red's a little harsh for me. So, but no, Mad Dog Monday, congratulations as the Texans move to 4-1. And, Clint, I heard you talking about this. I heard it on a promo. I heard it a bit on the post game show. Mm-hmm. You were saying that this to you was the most important game in the D'Amico Ryan's era.
Yes, I said it last week multiple times.
This was the most important. I want to know, because I didn't really get it. I want to know why, because they play playoff games. They've had some big games. I want to know why. Big regular season games. That Colts regular season game was a play-in to get into the postseason. I want to know why, and did they accomplish why you felt like this was the big
game? Yeah, it's easy for me. I mean, you're playing with house money last year. Nobody expected you to win last year. Nobody. I mean, it was, if you beat somebody in the playoffs, it was an upset. Getting into the playoffs was one of those nobody expected you to do. You're going into the game. You're the Colts game you mentioned. You're playing a backup quarterback, and was it a big win? Yeah, it was a big win, no question. The Cincinnati game was a big win for D'Amico Ryans. But for me, the Cleveland game in the playoffs was a big win for D'Amico Ryans. But for me, this one came with expectations. There was more weight on this football game right here, And everybody, including us, has been talking about this team being a top three or four team in the AFC, a top five team in all of the NFL. Like, the expectations that were on this football team was totally different than last year. Last year, you're on house money. Nobody, if you won, it was wow, man, I can't believe these guys are doing that. If you lost,
they're
ahead of the schedule, man. You are talk of the town, man. And you get the doors blown off of you by Minnesota, who now is one of the better teams in football, as we've seen. And now you've got one of the better teams over the last 5 or 6 years in the AFC. I would say a top three AFC team, really, since Brady and the Patriots kind of dismantled up there. They've been a top three football team in the AFC ever since. And if you're going to validate everything that everybody has said about this organization, you had to beat the Buffalo Bills. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't think you had to beat them. I think you had to show up and play and have a chance in the fourth quarter. You could not pull a Minnesota Vikings game at this point in time.
Yeah,
so it really, for me, it's an expectation thing. It's easy when you're the underdog and nobody expects you to win to go out there and play loose and play free and win some ball games. You got a last place schedule. Run the win total up. Great job. Okay, fun. Now you're the hunted. Now the expectation is you're in the top three. Now you got to go out and prove that you are what they say you are, and the Buffalo Bills game was a measuring stick game, a real one for the first time. And yes, I do think, given that they won, I do think they accomplished that, yes.
Yeah, I know last week in the middle of the Jacksonville game, I said it to you when we were in the press box. I tweeted it out where I was like, yo, I think we gotta calm down on the this is a Super Bowl contender talk. And I said, and they've got to start to kind of really give us evidence that they are, and it could start with the Buffalo game. Now, I think there are some people, and I see people texting, and I see people on YouTube and Twitch, and I've seen it throughout the day. People have talked about it, and, you know, the way the game went, you thought that the Texans may, you know, have a little bit more of a commanding win than they did. When you talk about how terrible Josh Allen played and how things came about. But I do think this is steps. This is steps to it, because you did it without Nico Collins, your clear number one threat. And we saw him get busy for two catches that quick, and he was going to be a problem throughout. And you did it with CJ not having his best game. CJ, uncharacteristic, turning the ball over twice in the fourth quarter, and your defense held him down and kept you with the lead or tied in that game. And you didn't have Joe Mixon. You didn't have Titus Howard. You had some pieces missing. Now, they had some pieces missing too, but you had some pieces missing, and you were able to continue to find ways to win the game. So I do think this is steps towards making you feel even more and more like, all right, this team is getting closer to that Super Bowl contender route. This does feel different than the Jacksonville and the Colts wins.
Yeah, it's easy for me, man. I can't sit here in hindsight of the game.
Yeah.
After saying how important this game is and go, oh, well, you know, they didn't play well. They didn't have anybody. That's the only reason. Look, Josh didn't play well. What's the cause for that? Did the Texans defense lock him up? Did the Texans defense have him confused? Did the Texans defense pose some problems up front? Absolutely they did. I look at this ball game, and I'm just, for me, the Texans were getting a lot of hype nationally and locally for something they did last year when there wasn't a whole hell of a lot of resistance. Yes, they drafted right. They had dudes playing out of their mind, and they're really well coached, and D'Amico Ryans is great. But there were zero expectations. Nobody cared. Week in, week out, you played lesser opponents. Week in, week out, you played lesser opponents, with the exception of a handful of games. And this is one where the expectations were for you to win this ball game against a top AFC team. I don't know what the Bills are going to turn out to be. We may look up, and the Bills may be a 500 football team at the end of the year. I have no idea. The last 2 weeks, they have been all they have not been good. Was it the Baltimore Ravens and the Texans, or are the Buffalo Bills just not very good? I don't know. But when I look at this particular ball game, this was a measuring stick game for me, for D'Amico Ryans. You lose this ball game after getting skull-drugged by Minnesota, folks all of a sudden going to start looking at you sideways going, damn, are the Texans legitimately a real contender? Are they really a top team in the AFC? Or do they still have some quote-unquote rebuilding to do? You win the game, and in my eyes, if you just compete in the game and you give yourself a chance in the fourth quarter, then you're right there neck and neck with one of the best teams where we sit week five of the schedule. You're neck and neck with the best teams in the AFC right now. Now, we'll see what the Chiefs do. We'll see what the Ravens do. Obviously, there's some different animals up there that you got to play with, but you can only play who's next on your schedule. And for me, this football game Buffalo that they just played there. Yeah, they were. I don't know what's going to happen to them from here on out. But coming into that ball game, you got an MVP caliber quarterback. You've got an offensive coordinator that is rolling with that offense since he took over midseason last year. You got an unorthodox attack, kind of unorthodox approach to playing offense. So it's a different look for your defense. And the Texans went out there and handled it smooth. I mean, they handled it well. And like you said, I didn't even take into consideration because I was looking more, Ron, when I said that. I'm more looking at as we went into the game. When we get out of the game, it's like, okay, the Texans took care of their business, and now I can have a serious conversation about them being one of the top three teams in the AFC, right? We can have I don't know if it's true or not. To each their own. I don't care what anybody, but we can sit down and have I feel comfortable sitting down and have a serious conversation about teams in the AFC. Are the Texans in the top of the bunch? Are they up there with the, and do they belong in that conversation? Absolutely.
Yeah. D'Amico Ryans. We'll hear from him coming up here around 2:30. We'll let you hear that live as we will go to NRG as soon as that happens. Coming up here a little bit later on the drive. And for me, fellas, you know, a lot of times over this run that the Texans have been under or been on, excuse me, it's been C.J. Stroud who has saved the team, who has put on a cape. To me, and some of you may disagree or not, yesterday to me was about the defense and the culture. Yesterday was about the defense. The defense to me, what they did to Josh Allen. Josh Allen, what did he go, 9 of 30, 131? I don't think Josh has played that bad since his rookie year. You talked about the playoff game here. Hell, I think the rookie year where he just seemed to be completely lost. And they as an offense seemed to be completely lost. By the way, I think it is potentially a real thing like Tyler's bad luck. I think it's potentially a real thing. The Houston Texans defense have this innate ability to make quarterbacks and receivers miss each other wide open down the field. I've never seen anything like it. And we've said it, hey man, Josh, hey, the better quarterbacks ain't gonna miss that. Well, now Josh Allen did. Josh Allen on the first drive of the game had Mac Hollins. Whatever that guy's name is. I always want to say he doesn't wear shoes, but that wasn't him.
Yes, it is.
Was that him?
Absolutely.
I thought it was Puka. For some reason, I can't know. Mac was the one who don't wear shoes. Mac. Yeah.
Radio Row at Super Bowl, walking through there, no shoes on.
No shoes, nasty ass, stepping on gum and spit. But he's wide open down the field, just like Christian Kirk was wide open down the field for Trevor, just like Brian Robinson was wide open the field for Trevor, just like A.D. Mitchell was wide open down the field twice for Anthony Richardson. I don't know how they pull it off, but they do. I'm expecting Jacoby Brissett to miss somebody wide open down the field next week. But not just that. Like I said, awful. The run game was giving them fits a little bit early, but then they found a way to pull that together and shut that down. And, yes, they started rolling in that third quarter, but then in the fourth quarter, they made huge stops. And to me, when I say the defense, when C.J. throws the pick nearing the red zone, like you got to score, right? It felt like it became, if the Texans don't make mistakes at 17-3, the way Buffalo's offense was going, they're going to win this game.
Yep.
And then they throw the pick, and this is, oh, my God, now it's starting. Now, do nothing on that pick and make a punt, and then the strip sack right there in the red zone, basically, and then they hold them to a field goal right there was huge. That was 3 points off those two fourth quarter turnovers, and that's a recipe how you lose games. And with Josh Allen, whether he was all there or not, but with Josh Allen in the game, they were able to hold him down. To me, was about the defense. Special teams had some moments as well that were big. Tommy Townsend's punt and the very, very smart play after the very stupid play from Robert Woods, backed up in his own end zone. But the very smart play coming out to get them yards north and south. But to me, the defense, they were the ones who saved the day yesterday.
Without a doubt. I mean, that's the story of that game right there. I mean, Josh Allen was shook the entire game. They were, as you mentioned, they were running it earlier. It looked like what D'Amico Ryans did was put an extra hat in and around the line of scrimmage to either stop the run or force him into an obvious situation where he felt like he had some matchups in the pass game. And then those guys, when they did that, the secondary was just super sticky. Now, this is not obviously one of the better receiving cores in the game, especially with Khalil Shakir out, the little shifty slot receiver that they have, but it's a step. It's a huge step in the right direction for this secondary. Eric Murray, Jalen Petrie, Kamari Lassiter, Kalen Bullock, and all those guys to be able to cover down and really suffocate the hell out of them, with the one exception of the fourth down conversion where Keon Coleman made Kamari Lassiter miss and took it to the house. With the exception of that, they were able to play sticky, icky coverage and keep everything in front of them. And then, as you mentioned, Ron, I mean, the big moment plays.
Yeah.
I mean, Azeez Al-Shaair, they've got a perfect call.
They got him. Nobody behind him.
Oh, they got a perfect call dialed up. It's wide cover two, and they shoot their big tight end up the middle of the field, and that is usually a throw-in-the-ocean touchdown for Josh Allen. And he underthrows it just a bit, just enough for Azeez Al-Shaair to get a hand on it. That was a monster play. Then the last series when they've got him backed up inside the 5-yard line, Will Anderson pushing a tackle back into Josh Allen where he couldn't get enough on the ball to complete it over the middle. That would have changed the game. A whole 180. Would have done a 180 on the game. And Kamari Lassiter's, you know, first down offensive pass interference where if he wouldn't have pass interfered, he had a pick right there. So and there's more than that. There's several of them. Henry Toa played lights out. He's talking about a guy that's played lights out. I didn't see that coming. I mean, he's been significantly better than I thought he would be.
Covering the tight end.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So I mean, there was not just consistently good defense play. There were also moments where individuals on the defense stepped up with monster plays that would have swung the game had they not made them. And yeah, tip to cap. They won a game on the defensive side of the football this week, no doubt about it.
Yep, they didn't, as you said, they didn't really get a lot of sacks. Shout out to Blue Springs High School, Khalil Davis got the single sack. But they sure was on Josh Allen's ass.
Yeah.
The whole game. And as you said in the crosstalk, really important pressures right there. Because, yeah, we're talking about how stupid, and it was, the Buffalo Bills were at the end for the decision they made. But it would be a different conversation if they completed any of those passes. It'd be a completely, yeah, like we wouldn't be talking about, like, it would be like, boy, that was a ballsy decision.
Yeah.
But the Texans defense made that look worse. All right, coming up, C.J. Stroud. How would you grade C.J. Stroud's performance? We do his grades. We got our quarterback jump in, 713-572-4610. You can text in. Your thoughts, what was C.J. Stroud's grades? 28 of 38, 331, one touchdown, one pick, three carries, 27 yards, rushing, one fumble, two fourth quarter turnovers in that game. What was C.J. Stroud's game from yesterday? We'll discuss that next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Here's the snap. Here's the rush. CJ throwing over the middle. Hits Diggs. 40. Diggs taking people with him. 45 to the 48-yard line. Lewis and Bishop went for a ride as Stephon Diggs picks up 18.
Yeah, that was a big time. Was that the jump throw? Like the jump pass?
I believe so,
that
yeah.
He made. That was a big time throw from CJ Stroud in that game as they took an early 17-3 lead, went into the halves up 17-3. And then held on in the end and ended up winning 23-20 at the buzzer. But we do this every Monday, and this one is I'm curious. I am really curious to hear the thoughts of everybody on this one. 713-572-4610. Those of you on YouTube and Twitch as well. What is your grade for C.J. Stroud? I can't wait to hear what Clint's is as well. What's your grade for C.J. Stroud's game yesterday? Again, if you don't know the numbers, he was 28 of 38, 331, one touchdown, one interception. He ran it three times for 27 yards and had a lost fumble. Two turnovers there in the fourth quarter, had the weird intentional grounding situation that ended up being what at the time felt really crucial until the Buffalo Bills said, here, my turn. Yep. But I'm seeing here on the text line, Clint, from folks here, B minus, B plus. I give CJ a solid B here on AZ Storm on YouTube and Twitch. Said Stroud an A in the first half and a C plus in the second half. I give CJ Stroud a C plus grade, started strong and then faded before finishing upward from Ocho. Let's hear it from our quarterback, Clint Sterner, two-time second
two
team.
Time.
All SEC for them Hogs who got busy this weekend. We'll get to that. We'll get to that. But you, what was your grade? What did you get a sense of how CJ performed? Somebody just slid in with it.
Nah, I can't do it. C+.
C+. Huh?
C+. I thought CJ played really well. I think he's handled some chaotic situation. He's shown the ability to stay on the move and has made a ton of plays on the move. He made a few more this week. But yeah, I mean, look, you can't, you turn the football over twice. That in itself eliminates an A. And then you take it into account when he turned the football over.
How much do you blame those two turnovers?
Both
on
of them.
CJ.
They're both on CJ.
As a guy who's played the position, yeah, both of them.
Yeah, CJ's got, look, I mean, CJ's too freewheely with the football in the pocket and the extending plays thing.
He didn't have two hands on the ball.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it just loose with it in a moment where, you know, that it's been pretty chaotic throughout. And any way you slice it, when you got the ball and somebody swats it out of your hands, it's on you. So, yeah, it's easy. I got a C+, and I'm pretty firm in that right there. The turnover, and you said intentional grounding that could end up costing you the game. That's another hit right there. So a C+.
I want to hear more from you, but let's head to NRG as D'Amico Ryans has just stepped to the podium live. Here's the head coach.
He ain't quite live yet.
Never mind.
Very shortly.
Crossed the
Now he
fingers.
Is. Now
right,
he is. Look at that.
To NRG. Let's hear from the head coach.
Really proud of the effort that we have versus a really good Buffalo team. It's just really good to see everybody, you know, in different phases of the game step up. Our special teams, offense, defense, like we did what we set out to do, that's play complementary football. So I'm very proud of our guys for that.
How much of this is what y'all are accomplished against Long Island?
For us, it's just about executing. At the end of the day, we execute and we do what we're supposed to do. We can be a really good football team. So we'll still have, even though it's a big win for us, still have a lot of things to clean up, a lot of individuals. Just, I ask the guys, just check yourself and see where you can get better. How can you improve upon this next week and keep that mindset moving forward?
Blake Fisher got his initial NFL start. Overall assessment, even though he got, that was on that bull rush, you got caught that caused CJ's fumble, but overall assessment of him.
Blake, I thought he did a really nice job of stepping in, and you know, Blake didn't have much practice last week because he was dealing with the illness as well. So for him to step in, short practice, and step in and start for us and play the entire game, I thought he did a really nice job. Definitely some things to clean up. His first time out, though, I'm very encouraged by what I saw from him. And he has, of course, he'll improve and get better, but, man, he started off on the right foot.
How's Nico doing, and do you expect to have him this week?
Yeah, Nico, he's in good spirits. Of course, with the hamstring, it takes a couple weeks for a hamstring, so we'll evaluate that, you know, on a week-to-week basis to see when we can get him back.
What about Christian Harris? Any chance he returns to practice this week?
Not yet. We're still waiting on Christian. Christian is improving. He's doing well. We actually had Christian down on the sideline yesterday. It was just encouraging to see him down there, see his support, his energy that he brings to our team, and we're pulling for him to get back at the right time.
Do you worry about him not being on the field, being a little bit, I don't want to say behind, but I know last year was he had the full year with you, and I think you said, you know, it was basically like a rookie season for him. Do you worry about him getting the late start and not being able to pick up where he left off last year?
Whenever we can get Christian back, it'll be beneficial for everyone. You know, I'm excited about his growth and his development. I'm still very encouraged by that, and Christian will be he'll pick up right where he left off.
One more injury thing. Do you expect Joe Mixon to return this week?
For Joe and his injury, we'll still evaluate that week to week. We don't know as of right now. I can't give you that answer, but we'll see how Joe improves over the week. He's definitely been improving. Week to week, he's been improving. He's doing a great job attacking his rehab, so we'll see where he is as the week goes on.
Mikko, speaking of the ground game, you kind of see Cam Akers find his way to the end zone for a rushing touchdown. Speaking of the run game, Cam Akers got into the end zone yesterday for his first rushing touchdown in over 11 months. Just how have you seen him and Dare really step up into that role without DP and without Joe?
Yeah, Cam and Dare did a really nice job with, you know, the role that they've been asked to take on with us missing Joe and missing Damian. Like they've done a good job on the touchdown run. First and foremost, it starts with the blocking. That's probably our most well-blocked run of the entire day. So a very clean run right there for Cam to get into the end zone.
44 seconds left in the game, fourth quarter, third down. What goes into the decision to pass there? He gets CJ gets called for the intentional grounding. What goes into the decision to pass there versus run? And if you guys had completed it, did you plan to kick from that spot?
Yeah, with that, you know, we felt like they would zero pressure us. So, you know, of course, we would like to say run the ball, but not trying to lose yards there. Felt like with the pass, we can get a quick pass there to the side, quick pass to Dalton there, but miscommunication on the route between Tank, Dalton, CJ, miscommunication at a critical moment in the game, not clean enough, not good enough for us offensively. Like in that moment, like we have to be able to execute much better, and that wasn't good enough.
Going Dylan Ward to get out there, obviously we talked about him last week, but to see how he played with having missed that much time, what did you think about him?
Excited for Dylan. He stepped in, he set the edge really well, got after the quarterback. Dylan did a really nice job, man. What a keep saying an awesome story, but he's an awesome young man. He's a pleasure to work with, pleasure to be around, just such a great spirit. Like it's so encouraging and motivating to see him go out missing as much time as he did, but he was still able to come in and affect the game. Like made a really nice play where he set the edge, got off a block, and then made a physical tackle on a running back. So it was one of the first plays I showed the team, and everybody, again, just clapping for him, excited for Dylan.
Just how impressive is that to not play football for almost a year and go through what he went through and be able to jump back in?
It's very impressive. It is also a credit to the work that Dylan has put in. Like, nobody is checking for you. Nobody's looking, but you have to be committed to the work when nobody's watching, and Dylan's definitely committed to the work because we see the work that he put in by him stepping in 1 week of practice and being able to go out and help us win that game. So credit to Dylan, credit to our sports performance staff for the work that they did along with him as well. Right, it's phenomenal to see, you know, the strides that he made.
You mentioned the 2 weeks that usually takes for hamstrings. How do you, if Nico misses a couple games or one, how do you replace what he's brought to you all this season?
And missing Nico it'd be very difficult. Like, Nico's been the best receiver in the NFL this year. So do you replace him? No. Everybody just steps up, and whatever role you're asked to do, you just step up and play your role the proper way. Nobody has to go out and be Nico, right? There's one Nico. He's done a great job of that. Now whoever is next, when your number is called, make the plays that you're supposed to make.
Is this, and you know I like to bring this up, rat poison.
Every week.
Hey. It's your fault. You brought it up. You can save it, so I'm blaming you. You just beat one of the best teams in the league. You held Josh Allen to 9 of 30, 130 yards. And you're going to face New England, who you're a big favorite against. Is this kind of like a rat poison danger zone?
No, it is not. I don't want to go too much there. No, I don't.
I know where they're getting praised because the rat poison. Obviously, you're saying you're it's basically taking in the praise. Is this kind of one of those times where you Is it the same message? Is there like a little more intensity? How do you do that with the position you're in?
As a famous coach once said, on to New England. It's on to the next. No, don't say, don't hurt me about talking about Alabama right now. All right.
There's a lot of talk they may start Drake May. When you go about preparing for the Patriots this week, a veteran quarterback like you said, or a rookie like May, if they try to keep it quiet, how do you go about two different guys with experience?
And for us, whenever you're preparing for the unknown, right, only thing we can prepare for is what we've seen on tape with the quarterback that they've had play over these first, 4 or 5 weeks of the season. Now, the young guy gets in, we have to be prepared to adjust. So, of course, we'll go back and watch as much as we can on him from his preseason plays. But our focus will just be on structurally, like what they do as an offense.
Joe Mixon's injury has been related to an illegal tackle. Have y'all as a team, as an NFL, sent out an overall broad message about those illegal tackles particularly? Have they came back and addressed it with y'all individually, or is it overall NFL collectively about that play? Because he's still out because of an illegal play.
Right, Joe is out because of that, the hip drop tackle. And the NFL has done a great job of communicating, like, for an entire league of how we want to tackle, like how we should tackle. And we're trying to get that out of the game. I think some guys have been fined for making those illegal tackles, but, the fine doesn't get your guy back soon enough, so it still hurt us that Joe was out. And we just want to make sure as a league we're doing a better job of eliminating the hip drop tackle, make sure we're running our feet as defenders, and making sure we just, get that out of the game.
Kind of coming into this season, you all trade for Stephon Diggs, and you think he falls in the depth chart a little bit, but he kind of seems to do anything he's asked of, even at 32, whether it's punt return or block. What does that kind of say about him, that he's willing to do whatever at this point in his career?
And Robert has been outstanding for us since the first day he's still here, and he's done everything that we've asked. Whatever role he's in, Rob is a true leader in that regard. He shows up and works every single day. Doesn't say much, but he works. Like, Rob is what a lot of young guys, they should be watching him and how he operates, how he goes about his business, and showing you what a pro looks like in the NFL. Whatever. Now, he's asked to go and return punts for us. He has the longest punt return of his career. Right, he has a punt return to set us up there for the game-winning field goal. So everything that he does every week, like, I can highlight Rob and how he blocks on the edge in the run game. Not that he's getting 15 targets a game, but, man, the way he blocks in the run game, it just shows that he's unselfish. Right, he's a team-first player, and that's what everybody should aspire to be like when you're playing, especially here for us. You need that team-first mentality.
You're listening to D'Amico Ryans as he is live at NRG right here on the draft.
Trusting his keys, playing faster, playing better.
Henry has done a really great job. Henry had one of his better games this past week. He's playing physical. He's playing fast, just all over the field. So encouraged with his growth and his improvement. Coach Davis has done a great job with helping his development.
The physicality of the corners, we always talk about him covering, but it seems like yesterday Stingley and Lassiter, they were hitting pretty hard. Is that an emphasis or just kind of a luxury of having corners that can help that much close to the line of scrimmage?
The emphasis for us is anybody who steps in and plays in our defense, it has to play physical. So whether you're a corner, safety, nobody gets a pass. Like, you have to play physical to play in our defense. So Stingley, he stepped up yesterday, played well. I think he had like 7 tackles, and Kamari had a physical hit as well there. So that's what we're about. When your corners are playing physical, when your receivers are playing physical, that's the makings of a physical football team.
Regardless of Nico, is this the same hamstring that popped up on the injury report a couple weeks ago? If so, how would that factor into how you guys kind of monitor him?
Nico has a hamstring injury. He's attacking his rehab the right way. Our staff will help him get back right when that right time is.
On Saturday, it came on the injury report that Aziz was dealing with an illness. For him to come back as quickly as he did and then nearly get 2 interceptions, just his resilience.
Two interceptions? No.
Nearly got back to back here. So it's just his resiliency and his ability to come back and make those plays.
Aziz, it was a valiant effort by Aziz to deal what he was dealing with. I can't imagine how he was feeling and what he was going through the night before the game. You know, it was a tough spot for him. So, man, couldn't be more proud of him for stepping up, right, and going out, gutting it out for the team. And as I spoke about Rob earlier, it's the same for Aziz. It's the team first mentality. It wasn't about him. He didn't want to make it a big deal about him. He just wanted to go out and help the team. And he had some nice plays there for us. Wish he would have came down with one of those interceptions, but he had a really nice game for us.
Sorry, John. Coach, how much did having those three timeouts at the last Buffalo offensive possession allow you to be so aggressive against them, especially them being backed up on their own goal line?
For us, you want to save those times. Timeouts are valuable, especially in the second half, so you want to save them as much as you can. So we just to make sure we're running a clean operation offensively where we don't have to burn any timeouts. So the guys did a good job operating there so we could be in position to have three timeouts, you know, under our discretion there at the end of the game, and it helped us out there tremendously.
Last one. Even though Woods had those two returns, he got two on the two. Is he supposed to catch those punts on the turn?
Woods did a great job returning for us.
All right, that is the head coach, D'Amico Ryans. A lot there, Clint. Let's take a break here, and we'll come back and kind of react to a little bit of what he had to say and finish up here the grade conversation. Because a lot of people got surprised. No, I'm not. Got some issues with your grade for CJ Stroud.
Oh, Tricky Dick already hit me up. Tricky Dick Olin.
Oh, God. Said I'm no, crazy. He didn't. Crazy? Okay. All right. Let me slow my way. Yeah. All right. that's coming up next right here on The Drive.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back as it is a reaction Monday, a victory Monday, and a Mad Dog Monday right here on The Drive. You just heard lengthy from the head coach, D'Amico Ryans, Clint, and there were some things that stuck out injury-wise real quick. It does not appear, and you can tell from the years, the year-plus we've dealt with D'Amico, that he doesn't like to let the cat out of the bag on anything. He said... He basically said Christian Harris is not ready yet. I think he was asked, will he return to practice? And he said, not ready yet. He moved from day to day, which is what he has said about Joe Mixon, to week. And he said the same thing about Nico Collins, week to week, Clint. So a lot said there, but that was kind of the injury stuff there that came about, talking about Nico Collins, talking about Christian Harris, who is eligible to come back. And as well as Joe Mixon, who has not played in three games. So, those are some clearly frontline guys that it looks like the Texans may potentially have to continue to go without.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of it, man. You get into the meat of this schedule. You pay between Minnesota and Buffalo. You played two really good football teams, two physical football teams, and. And it happens. You got to keep this thing moving. They've done a really good job defensively without Christian Harris to date. And now, unfortunately, you got to do the same thing on the offensive side of the football this week without Tytus Howard. Next week, possibly, or not possibly. It sounds like Nico Collins is definitely out for at least 1 week, if not two. But luckily, that's the deepest position on the field, deepest position on the roster, really, at wide receiver. You've still got some very, very capable guys. You got some high-end guys. You got one of the best receivers in the league over the last 4 or 5 years in Stephon Diggs. So we'll see how they overcome it.
All right, Dick Olin came at Clint's old coach came at him about his quarterback grade for C.J. Stroud. Somebody here on the text line, Clint, you tripping, fam. C+, he was nearly perfect in the first half. And did decent in the third quarter. Bad fourth quarter, but nah, fam. And this is Tiger, by the way. This person said maybe you know a gentleman by the name of Tiger.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. But I thought a C-plus was fair. I was in the B-minus, C-plus range.
Yeah, look, I mean, the team overall, the offense overall was really good in the first half. The one play over the top 70-yard bomb, if you want to give him an A for that, that's fine. That's C.J. Stroud. We're not talking about Davis Mills here. The bar is really high for this dude. I mean, you're gonna be in the A's. You're gonna carry the team. You're gonna make multiple big time throws, and down the stretch, you're gonna make the right decisions and not turn the football over. And CJ played a good half, hit a big bomb over the top. I mean, other than that, the other scoring drive was kind of knick-knack here and there, and then Cam Akers had back-to-back really nice runs. Besides that, you scored 6 more points, guys, and you tried to give that opportunity away at the end of the game. So, you know, when you look like the bar, if you want to keep grading C.J. Stroud on a middle-of-the-road quarterback, fine, fair to it. I don't. That's how I look at it. You get the ball on the 33-yard line, you throw a pick, you're in field goal range, you gave 3 points up right there in the fourth quarter. You're backed up coming out in their area, you're flushing the pocket, and the ball gets knocked out of your hand. Any way you look at it, man, it's a fumble. Trust me, it's a fumble. It's on you. It ain't somebody stepped on your foot. It ain't somebody hit. No, it's on you. And you essentially, you left 3 points on the field on one end, you gave up 3 on this end. Luckily, you gave up 3 on this end on the fumble. And then when the game's on the line, you've got a 50-plus yarder to win this thing, and there's an intentional grounding. I don't care if it's a miscommunication or not. I mean, how can it be a miscommunication on 3 people? He said Dalton Schultz, Tank Dell, and C.J. Stroud. That's fair. I mean, it may not be on C.J. Stroud, but ultimately, it's on C.J. Stroud. And down the stretch, that typically against a good football team will cost you the game. 2 turnovers in the fourth quarter, and then a chance to win it late, and you push them out of field goal range. So, I don't have a problem with the C+. Yep.
All right, coming up, how do you explain the run game yesterday? Because they had a touchdown drive, where it seemed like it just almost came from the run game. You're like, whoa, I didn't know somebody other than Joe Mixon could have a drive like that. And then it seemed to stall at times, and then Dare seemed to be the number one back. Let's take a little deeper dive on that run game yesterday that we saw from the Texans. That comes up next.